A little Tim McGraw brings us back. This area, if you like golf, this Brander Lakes area is filled with great golf. We're here in the clubhouse at Deacon's Lodge, and I can assure you, this is a fabulous golf course. Lucky enough to play this very early. My friend of, I think Mark Neve and I, who's running this place, might have met when he was 9 and I was 11. I've known Mark my whole life. And now the folks with Breezy Point have said, let's jump into the par 3 business and not just tippy toe into the shallow end. Let's go deep with a course that I continue to hear great buzz about. It's called Ace Valley, and Nolan Toft is a part of this, and Nolan's kind enough to join us. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it. Tell me how you and Breezy Point came together and decided this was the way to go on Ace Valley.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. You know, it's been a conversation happening for a really long time. You know, the traditional has been around for over 100 years and served its purpose greatly for all that time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's no secret. There was room for improvement, and we just kind of wanted to seek out what could we do to enhance the golf experience for our guests and the general public coming to play golf with us. And ultimately, we decided that, you know, rather than doing a conventional 18-hole revamp, we thought, you know, let's do something different. We have two great 18-hole tracks and Deacon's Lodge here, of course, and then White Birch right up the road.
Yeah.
Let's give them something different.
People have been playing White Birch forever, too.
Yeah, yeah, a long time. I think it's been 18-hole facilities since 86, somewhere in there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great track. It's really fun.
It is. It's underrated. And let's be honest. The other places have pushed the level each time, right? In the early 90s, all of a sudden the Pines jumped in.
For sure.
And then years later, the Classic, and now what Craigens has done. So I was curious what you guys would do and make this decision. So why a par 3 as opposed to taking the old course, conventional 18, and trying to juice that one up?
A lot of it came down to those 10 holes across the road. You know, it gets really tight back there. It's really narrow. If you're 2 feet off the fairway, you're in someone's yard. So rather than inconvenience our neighbors who live on the course, we thought, you know what, let's do something different. We have a great chunk of land on the resort side, and we looked at doing an unconventional, you know, 6 to 7 holes with some par fours mixed in there. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we thought, a par 3 course, you know, as you put it, you know, elevated, well done, not just slapped in there, will offer us more of an experience than, you know, trying to – we didn't want to invest the money and get it's kind of better. We wanted to do something that was totally different, not to erase any of the history that, you know, the traditional offered up those hundreds of years, but just to enhance the overall experience, we just felt that was the best way to go about it.
I am a full-fledged golf snob. I will fully admit it. I've been lucky to play some good courses, and I'm staying at Breezy Point, and I was driving over here. I said, wait a second, because I came in late last night. I'm like, there it is. And I jumped out of the car, and I didn't want to go anywhere on the property. But you can see your layout already looks really strong. This is not... And again, if people listen right now on the stream, on the podcast, if you want your basic par 3, more power to you.
For sure.
I'm not knocking anyway. But if you want something that's going to wow you and dazzle you, that just looks like a high-end golf course, whether it's your high-end approach shot on a par 4 or a par 5 or just a par 3, you guys are putting in a lot of effort to put a high-level course out there.
For sure. I mean, it's nobody's going to walk off that golf course and think they didn't play golf. It's going to feel like every bit. I keep comparing it a lot to Deacon's, actually, which maybe sound funny. But if you get out here and you're hitting your approach shot, there's just so much dynamics to what you're looking at and where do you miss, where do you not want to miss. There's no layup out there. Same thing over at Ace Valley. Even in its rough form that it is right now, and we have – 4 holes completely seeded. We should have 6 by early next week. So it looks like a golf course right now, but it's just so dynamic in the way it's going to play and how it looks. And to your point about basic par 3, You know, that's the great part about this project too, is it offered us an opportunity to still do something with those 10 holes across the road.
Yeah, right.
So that's going to be called the traditional 10. And for those of us who are going to miss the traditional a little bit, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
All we're doing is we're shortening those holes across the road, take away some of that narrowness. And that will be a separate par three entity that's a little bit more kid and family friendly, and just a quick little 10 hole loop around.
This is Nolan Toff. We're here at Deacon's Lodge. We're talking about Ace Valley. How'd you come up with the name, by the way?
We had a list of 40, 50 names that just kept getting added and
right.
added. And Ace Valley had been on that list from the beginning, and it just kind of seemed to it seemed to fit.
Yeah, it works very well. Okay, so if somebody's thinking about, listen, there are probably so many people who've come up here at any point of year, and also so many people come up here for 4th of July. So if somebody's already thinking the 4th of July, 2027, and they're thinking, I'm listening, wait a second, will Ace Valley be playable? What are your thoughts right now?
Perhaps foolishly optimistic.
Yeah.
I think that July time frame is correct. What time frame in July is still up in the air, but our hope is by July we'll be sending play consistently.
Okay. What about later in the day golf at Ace Valley?
Yes, that's kind of the X factor of this whole thing, is we do have all the electrical in the ground to have this course lit up. We should be able to send play off till about 8:30 at night, which will be something totally new to
yeah.
the state and the area for sure. So, the light, we're really excited about the lights.
So I remember years and years ago as a kid playing a few par threes that were lighted. But they are few and far between. To make it as playable as possible, what do you need to do with lighting for a par three course? You have a much better chance in a par three course than a par four or par five. Now, the way I've played this year, I feel like I'm playing in the dark half the time. But on a par three course, it's possible, but it's still very challenging.
It's not a small undertaking, no. It's not as easy as throwing a few lights out there. You have to take into consideration, you know, the tee box, the green, and then, you know, hopefully you have to make sure you have enough light casted to at least be able to track your ball off the tee for a little ways anyhow.
Yeah,
you
right.
know? So it's definitely being very, not just the amount of lighting that you need, it's coordinating where those lights are. You know, how can you maximize, instead of, you also don't want to have an eyesore of, 20 poles on every hole.
Yeah,
you want
right.
to, you want to
exactly.
minimize the distractions out there, but still get the optimal casting to where, you know, it's an enjoyable experience at nighttime as well.
Let's finish just talking about Deacon's Lodge, right?
Yes.
I remember playing this very, very early with John Hankinson, right? John was the brains
yeah.
behind this.
Yeah.
He was able to convince Arnold Palmer to design this. I played with my great friends, Greg Wong and John Rowe, and I still tell everybody, if you want to talk about a stunning tee-to-green golf course,
yep.
where each hole is kind of its own little island, and it's just going to stand out, that Deacon's can hang with any course in the state, and I still believe that's true today, like it was when it opened. Was it like 2000?
99.
Okay.
Yep.
I think it's held up beautifully in that way.
I agree. I have a soft spot. This is where I started my golf career with Mark Neva.
Screamer, yeller.
Oh, yeah.
Temperamental.
Tyrant, yeah. Some might say. No, I got incredibly fortunate to have just a true pro's pro in Mark Neva as my golf mentor and get my career off the ground here. I love this golf course. It's different every time you play it, but it's still that same consistent, just wonderful experience every time. It's hard to go out there and not have a great time.
Nolan, thanks so much, and best of luck with Ace Valley, and best of luck here with Deacon's Lodge.
Thanks for having me, and thanks so much for being here.
Anytime you're thinking about golf, whether you live in this area or you're coming up here, make sure Deacon's is part of the conversation. Okay, I want to finish with this. I drove up here last night, and this is a rare time that I drive by the Royalton Dairy Queen and don't stop. In fact, I'm kind of ashamed that I didn't stop. In greater Minnesota, where is your go-to place for a treat? Ice cream, cookie, pie, cake, pudding. By the way, you can't be Chip Scoggins, whose go-to ice cream is vanilla.
Did you just say pudding?
Yeah, I was joking. Tapioca pudding. I mean, Does anybody still have pudding? I mean, of course, Brad's here, so baked Alaska. Okay, I don't, most of us don't stop and get, you know, bananas flambé just off to the side of the road. Where is your out-of-the-metro area stop in greater Minnesota for a great dessert? And by the way, I'm going to break the news to you. Betty's Pies. I'm going to hurt the sponsorship from Betty's Pies right here. Overrated. So get out of here with Betty's Pies, okay? They're fine. They're okay. They're just not to end the world pie. 651-461-9226 on CCO.